Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. And Joseph, not wanting to disgrace her, wanted to send her away secretly. Try to remember a time in your life when you felt utterly disappointed. How'd you feel? Did it affect your expectations for the future? Did you get mad? Did you quietly sink back and sulk? Disappointment hurts, doesn't it? It's a painful irony that our level of disappointment is directly proportional to how much we want something to really happen. In this portion of Scripture, Joseph is seen as being extremely disappointed. And why should he not be? He was engaged to a young woman through a legal bond strong enough to require a divorce to end it. And yet she stood before him admitting a pregnancy that she could not fully understand. Isn't that something? Obviously, Joseph was bewildered. He could not understand it either. Being a gentleman, the disappointed Joseph decided to allow her to exit the engagement quietly. God called Joseph now to a higher level of acceptance, explaining the supernatural conception. The Lord called upon Joseph to rise up out of those fears and disappointments. Furthermore, God entrusted Joseph with an awesome responsibility, that of parenting the Savior of the world. Wow, that's something to think about. God's only begotten Son. How differently this story would have ended if Joseph had refused to lay aside his disappointment. Today, pray that God will enable you to see your initial disappointment to achieve the greater potential that He has in store for you in your life. We all have to deal with disappointments. So the couple was married in this park, renewed their vows a couple of years ago right here, and they go to this same place in the park, husband and wife. There they are, holding hands, and the man raises the gun to his chest and kills himself. Another major trouble spot in America, the national opioid crisis, has propelled a crackdown on prescription painkillers, causing hundreds of doctors in America to abruptly reduce or completely cut off their patients' prescriptions, leaving many among the estimated 20 million Americans who suffer from daily debilitating chronic pain to consider suicide. This is just one story. It happened slowly, the pain caused by a 1980 back fracture, the result of a tractor-trailer crash, crippled more and more of Jay Lawrence's body and his spirit. By 2006, the Tennessee native and Navy vet's arms and legs were going numb. The excruciating pain reduced him to tears, multiple surgeries, chiropractic adjustments, physical therapy, nothing worked. Finally found solace in prescription painkillers, 120 milligrams a day of morphine, high dose, but it did dull the pain enough for him to take walks with his wife, do some grocery shopping, even take in some movies. But last February, the pain clinic doctors delivered jarring news. It's coming to America. They were cutting Lawrence's daily dosage from 90 milligrams in short dosages down to 30. The doctor said the reduced dosage was in response to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention out of Atlanta, prescribing guidelines released in 2016 as part of that national anti-opioid push. The doctor said, you know, these guidelines are going to become a law eventually, so we've decided as a group here, we're going to take all of our patients down now, start dropping them. Lawrence's pain returned with a vengeance, could barely move, sleep, often sorting himself before he could get to the bathroom. It feels like every part of my body's on fire. His wife said she and her husband went to a primary care physician and asked maybe for a referral to another pain clinic. They were told it takes 6 weeks. That was too much. On the day of his next medical appointment, when his painkiller dosage was to be reduced again, he instead went to a nearby park with his wife, and on the very spot where they renewed their wedding vows just 2 years earlier, they held hands together, and then he raised the gun, put it to his chest, and killed himself. Lawrence, who was 58 years old, became one of those undetermined number among the nation's 20 million chronic pain sufferers who choose suicide after being cut back or denied prescriptions for opioids. The suicides have motivated many of those who continue to suffer from pain, and family members, and advocates of those who took their lives to call for a reevaluation of that rush to reduce opioid dosages for those who most need them. We have a terrible problem in America. We have people committing suicide for no other reason than being forced to stop their opioids, their pain medications for that chronic pain. It's mass hysteria and it's witch hunts, said many doctors. This strikes close to home for me. We have family in this very same position. Something to think about today and pray about. For you, maybe. Certainly for others. In brief, what else is happening around the country? Former Trump attorney Michael Cohen sentenced to 3 years in prison yesterday. Tax evasion, campaign finance violations, lying to Congress about Trump's past business dealings with Russia. One former member of the Federal Election Commission told Fox News yesterday that Trump's detractors should not anticipate an impeachment because of Cohen. Federal judges ordered special counsel Robert Mueller to hand over documents. Really, Mueller's got to hand over the documents. After former Trump national security Michael Flynn's legal team claimed he was pressured into talking to the FBI without having a lawyer present. Nashville, Tennessee has some good news, probably temporary, but good news. Planned Parenthood has suspended abortions indefinitely there due to a lack of abortionists. At this time, abortion services have been halted and we're undergoing a period of improvement, said Tareva Parham, a spokesman for Planned Parenthood. The hold on abortions at the facility means no abortions currently offered in the city. The clinic was the largest provider of abortions in the state. Women from Middle Tennessee counties and neighboring Alabama, Kentucky, Mississippi sought abortions at the Nashville facility. Ugh, this gives me the woolies talking about it. Well, that couldn't have been fun. After 111 hours stranded underground, three people who went missing in a West Virginia coal mine. Now recovering in a hospital after rescuers located them yesterday. A fourth person who emerged from the mine on Monday helped find the other three. According to police, the group went into the mine to steal copper wiring. They could face some criminal charges. One of the searchers told CBS News Chip Reed the rescue mission could cost as much as $1 million. So that's what you people were doing in the cave. Melania Trump was slamming people yesterday, the opportunist critics, she called them, insisted she does not hesitate to give her honest opinion and advice to her husband about anything. I could believe that. You suppose the president is smiling on this one? He is ending year two of his presidency with a 46% job approval rating. Gee, I didn't even know he had any percentage points watching the nightly news. Well, that's up slightly from the start of this year. It's my party, and I'll cancel it if I want to. The president has canceled the annual White House Christmas party for the media. Aw. More news right after this. So I took a little lunch break yesterday and flipped on the Andy Griffith Show. I love those black and white ones. The show was about a traveler came to town, caused a bit of a problem. He had this terrible work ethic. Maybe you can identify with it. There's nothing that you have to do today that can't be better done tomorrow. And even though Andy gave him a much-needed job, the man lazily sat on Andy's front porch day after day. Hey, he needed money. He didn't want to do the work. Andy was especially unhappy with the effect that this was having on Opie, his son. How often do we live our lives under a similar principle? Procrastination, isn't it terrible? We put things off for a number of reasons. Let me sleep on it. I just want to make sure of all my options here. I want to take a few days to think about this. Frequently, these are necessary delays to solidify your thinking. However, more often than not, this could be translated into, I just do not want to do this. So I'm going to put it off until the last minute. Are you comfortable right now to stand up and do the job? Do you think tomorrow will be a more opportune time? Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And speaking of that, this guy would have never probably gone to work if he knew what was waiting for him. The robot did it. Are you kidding me? A 49-year-old man at a Chinese factory survived being skewered. 10 huge metal spikes right through his body. Working the night shift at a porcelain factory, was struck by the robot in a falling mechanical arm. The accident resulted in him being impaled with these foot-long, half-inch-thick metal spikes. First taken to a local hospital, then transferred to the major Central South University Hospital because of the severity. 6 steel rods fixed on a steel plate pierced his right shoulder and chest. 4 of them penetrated his body elsewhere. During the operation, doctors found out that one of the rods missed an artery by 1 millimeter. What an awful sight. They were relatively big, so big there was no way to get him into an x-ray machine, while the nails themselves could have caused interference with the x-rays. Surgeons worked all night long to take the rods out of the man's body. And speaking of robots, hey, that's not a robot. Yeah, a robot hailed in Russia as the latest cutting-edge technology there has been unmasked, undone. It was a man in a suit. The android known as Boris had been lauded on state-owned TV, Russia 24, as a technological breakthrough with the ability to walk and talk and even dance. Photos later revealed that there was a person inside all along. The revelation came after a number of unconvinced Russian journalists began to question the robot's authenticity. They are reported to have questioned the android's lack of external sensors, how it was made so quickly, and why the robot had so many unnecessary movements when showing off its dancing skills. They also noticed that a person would have fit inside that robot perfectly. All of those reporters have since disappeared. No, probably not, but you're kidding me. That's going to leave a bad mark for Russia. So the latest war on Christmas, the haters of Christmas, they never sleep. They'll never stop their hate campaign. So as long as Christmas exists, the war is on. The battleground has shifted to Newaygo, Michigan. I have preached in Newaygo. I'm coming. Is there any place we haven't been? I remember spending the weekend with the whole family in the pastor's basement there in Newaygo. Well, anyway, as small as that place is, a civil rights group has now demanded an elementary school take down the traditional Three Wise Men display. What are they called? The Michigan Association of Civil Rights Activists has drawn first blood against the school in a fight to remove the school's Three Wise Men perched on a roof, the flat wooden figures riding atop their camels toward the Bethlehem Star, have been a tradition at this school since, 1940. That doesn't matter. Get her down. Apparently, one resident who's a nutcase complained about the Three Wise Men. So everybody's saying now it's essentially a Christian symbol on public property. Get that thing down. We've asked a school to remove what is, in essence, a nativity scene from the top of the school property. If this were private property, it would not be an issue. Yeah, right. It's something we used to talk about. Don't talk about so much anymore. True love. Is there such a thing as true love? People these days often believe, nope, doesn't exist. Most say this is because their past relationship just caused them too much pain, but this is the best way you can believe again that true love exists. From the very start, Alexander and Jeanette knew they would be spending their whole life together. They became best of friends when they were 8 years old. They had been together 75 years, got married in 1940, and from that day forth, they vowed to be at each other's side until death do them part. Have you heard that before? Something later happened to Alexander that challenged their love. He suffered from a broken hip, bedridden. Just a few days after the bad news of Alexander's health, Jeanette's health got worse. Both of them so ill, the hospital provided a room and they could be in bed together. They shared it. "Wait for me, I'll be there soon," Jeanette said after Alexander passed away, and in just 3 hours, her life ended too. The nurses were really touched after seeing them both lying there lifeless in each other's arms. They just proved to everyone that forever, lifetime, and eternity exist. Of course, if you're a Christian, know your Bible, then you know that's true. Hey, you just tuned in. This is Hello World on this Christian radio station. News, information, and comment, opinion, well, all that stuff comes your way each day at this time, and we're so grateful to this station for carrying the broadcast. Make sure you support them, my friend. Continue to support us with your prayers and your emails and your text and your, well, all that stuff, too. Oh, it's so good to hear from you. Your finances, always needed, and grateful to those of you that do just that. Greg Pat Ministries, available to your church, your organization, to share the good news of Jesus Christ and challenge an audience as to what's going on in the world today. Jesus is coming soon. Again, thank you for being a part of all of this, my friend. Keep us on your prayer list, the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Greg Pat Ministries, and the radio ministry known as Hello World. Thank you. Okay, time to do a little check of your mind way back when. I used to love Saturday mornings when I was a kid. Yeah, I'd hop out of bed, plant myself in front of the boob tube, and get my weekly fill of, well, usually Looney Tunes stuff. I was showing my granddaughter some things last night. She's one. I don't think she understood, but she sure liked all the action. Sylvester was fighting the mice. Well, you know how that whole thing went. So here's that memory check thing again. How about the two who checked in and then fought? That was their job every day, fought. Now, I have no problem remembering Bugs Bunny. Yes, Sylvester, Foghorn Leghorn, and Porky Pig. I loved watching those cartoons and eating junk food. Two characters you may not remember quite as well. You will once I start to describe them. Ralph Wolf, remember him? And Sam Sheepdog, you remember him? The day started off like normal, and Ralph and Sam would arrive at the same time. Both wish each other a cordial good morning. Take time, cards, and punch them into the job, and then the mayhem would ensue. Sam was the protector of the sheep every day, and Ralph, he just wants to eat the sheep. All of them. But he never really gets away with anything. Sam had too much brawn and smarts to ever let Ralph accomplish that goal of stealing the sheep. Then the day would end, the work whistle would blow, and Ralph and Sam would leave telling each other good day again. Day after day, same scenario, very routine. It was, well, just ordinary living for these two. You know, each day we have the extraordinary ability to make room for Jesus Christ into our hearts and our lives, but here's the thing. We must intentionally make that room for Christ in our hearts. It is possible that we are so busy amidst the routine of life that we miss the unexpected, unplanned, and extraordinary moments that God may be dropping in our midst, maybe today. I want you to think about it. The alarm goes off, time to get up, get started on the day. First, what do? Is it the Bible or Facebook? Shower, get the coffee, check Facebook, drop the kids off at school, go to work, got that lunch meeting, check Facebook. You know, this really is my routine, doing news and all the things we read and do for this show. Hey, maybe you're younger. This is your routine. Okay, back to work. Pick up the kids from school. Drop off the kids. Grab a few groceries. Time for supper. Check Facebook. Help the kids get ready with their homework. Does this sound like your life? If you're younger, it very well may be you. Go through that get ready for bed process with the kids. Tuck them in, collapse into bed, end of day, repeat tomorrow. But what if today, at this very moment, the angels are still shouting, listen carefully, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. What if right now we can let the good news of Emmanuel, God with us, break up that daily routine and be captured, and we would be captivated by the extraordinary news of the gift of Almighty God to us. Friends, we had to pause now and then, a lot. Look for God at work in the midst of our lives and shine the love and the hope and the joy and the peace of Jesus Christ everywhere. And in doing so, may people see the extraordinary light and the love that God has for us this time of year. Well, walk through them all and you'll know what time of year it is. Can we say Merry Christmas this year? Is it still Happy Holidays, Season's Greetings? Yeah, those windows tell you what time it is. Stroll through the mall, or maybe here we go to Ship Shawana, the whole town is the season. But it doesn't take too long, and yep, it's Christmas time. You know what's missing in all of this, though? The name of Jesus Christ. The true Christmas, the celebration of Jesus' birth, seems to be diminishing year after year. Christmas is being replaced with a separate and unrelated event, the holiday season. Christians spend time rejoicing in the birth of Jesus. However, the holidays are instead spent rushing frantically from store to store, getting ready to spend your average $850 per person in finding the perfect gifts, and subtly hinting at what your loved ones can buy for you. Christmas is the most phenomenal opportunity that a Christian can have all year long for someone to talk about Jesus Christ. During Christmas, the world takes notice of the birth of the Savior, even if they don't realize it. This year, when someone greets you with a "Have a great holiday season," make a point to take the opportunity to share what they may have left out. Jesus Christ. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen up, Colin Kaepernick. If there'd been any question about it before, it was clear Saturday that 93-year-old World War II veteran Bob Smiley had been good, for goodness sake. Santa Claus confirmed it. Smiley and Santa were captured in a picture-perfect moment at the Concord Mall in Wilmington, Delaware, over the weekend as Saint Nick got down on one knee and thanked Smiley for his military service. I hear Santa telling the gentleman in a soft voice of others he knew who served. He shakes his hand with genuine gratefulness, thanking him for his service, said Gina Wilbur, who took the picture, wrote it up on Facebook, gone viral, so many people viewing it. Members of Smiley's family spotted the photo as it made the rounds on Facebook and reached out to Wilbur because they were so moved to see this. Santa and Smiley. And this is not what you want to hear. After the baby was dedicated, a 4-year-old brother was just crying inconsolably in the back seat of the car after church. "What's the matter?" asked the concerned mom. The boy replied, "Hey, that pastor said he hoped our baby would be raised in a good Christian home. I just want her to stay here with you guys." Okay. So that's it for a Thursday. Really? We're all done? So good to have you with us each day at this time. Thank you for listening to Hello World. As usual, please tell others about the broadcast. Join me on Facebook. I want to be your friend. Greg, G-R-E-G Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. This has just been a great day. Of course, the Bible says, "This is the day the Lord hath made, and we're to rejoice and be glad in it." Are you doing that, my friend? Greg Patton, God bless.